Matthew 22, beginning at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the word of the Lord. It's 1 Corinthians verse 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, they will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, as we come to look at this passage of scripture this morning, one that we know well and that we love, we pray that you will help us to take on board all that you want to say to us about love, that we may apply it to our lives in the days of this coming week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our series on 1 Corinthians, and over the past few weeks I have drawn a few short straws when I've had to lock myself away in the study and read and read and read until I understand the passage before me. This time I've drawn the long straw because it is the most beautiful passage. It's the gem, if you like. It's almost written like poetry. I was talking to Bruce Keeble this morning, and he said some people believe that Paul had picked up a hymn book, and that's why you get all these lovely sort of couplets running through this reading. And we're going to look at them, and as well as we know it and as much as we love it, if we apply what Paul is saying to our daily lives, we could get a bit of a shock when we know what love really is, or what he says love is. Verses 1 to 3 of this chapter is where we learn that love is the true measure of all that we do. Nothing we do or say or have has any value apart from love. In verses 4 to 7, Paul describes the true character of love. We use the word love in so many different ways. I love Jesus. I love my husband. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I can say grandchildren now because we have another one, a little girl, has joined Ethan. I love this church. I love the people of this church. I love music. I love going out to eat. I love good humour and laughter. Our use of the word love does not mean the same thing in these statements. The Greeks use different words to capture different meanings. Philos speaks about friendship, love and mutual affection. Eros speaks about romantic love with its passion and desire. Agape is the love of choice and commitment. This was the word that in the Old Testament most often is used to speak of God's love. The New Testament writers used it to describe God's sacrificial love for us, sending Christ, his only Son, to die for us. The word came to represent unconditional love, choosing to love another person regardless of our feelings. Paul describes the character of love here as agape love. I particularly like the way that the Living Bible puts this chapter, because it speaks my language, if you like. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best from them, and always stand your ground when defending them. In the original language, all of these descriptions in verses 4 to 7 are verbs. First of all, Paul begins with two verbs which describe what love is. Love is patient, love is kind. When we read it in the English, these sound like adjectives, not verbs. But they're not describing what love is, but how love acts. Love acts patiently. Love acts kindly. The first word Paul chooses to describe love is patience. And the word here means to bear patiently with another's faults, to be long-suffering. This is the first characteristic of agape love, because it's totally unconditional. It is choosing to love another, not because of who they are, but in spite of who they are, in spite of what they do to you or have done to you in the past. It is a love which refuses to take offence. It sees the potential in people. It is a love which continues to desire the best for others. It is a love remarkably like God's. Love is kind. It's not a difficult thing to be kind. It doesn't take much effort, but it does take intention. We need to intend to be kind. And that's what Paul is talking about here, caring enough to be kind. Sometimes just a word is enough. People say and do so many hurtful things. We live in a hurtful world. But we need more kindness in the world in which we live. Many people will remember an act of kindness forever. Paul has described what love is. Now he goes on to describe what love is not. And it put me in mind of a man who had gone out for a game of golf with his friends. He very much enjoyed golf, and it was a lovely day, and he was enjoying the match very much. And they got to the 11th hole, which was quite close to the main road. And he was just getting ready to tee off when he noticed a funeral procession going by with a hearse and some cars behind it. And so he stopped and he put down his club and he took off his cap and he just paused and bowed for a moment. And his friends were very impressed with the respect that he had. And they commented on it and he said, well, she was a good wife. Here Paul goes on to describe what love is not. And I think that's probably quite a good picture of what love is not. The next section is the longest, and he uses seven verbs to describe what love does not do, what love is not. Love is never jealous or envious. The word here is a strong word when applied negatively, because it means to boil with envy. We can envy all sorts of things. We can envy a person's position in life, their possessions, their wealth, their appearance. I would like to be a couple more inches taller. We can even envy another's personal spiritual gifts or service for God. Love does not envy, because love is glad for what the other person has. Love is never boastful or proud. If envy desires what another person has, boasting comes from the desire for others to see what we have. Sometimes people boast truthfully about themselves, but more often they tend to stretch the truth. The Greek word means to exaggerate, to brag, to draw attention to oneself. I'm sure you all know people who you can name in your heart that love the centre stage. They like to be the centre of attention. Love is never boastful or proud. Closely related to boasting is the issue of pride. The word means to inflate. You could translate it as puffing ourselves up in our own eyes until we feel so important to others that we cannot possibly love them. Love is never haughty or selfish or rude. Paul uses a verb here which means to act disgracefully, dishonourably. It means to violate accepted standards of behaviour in such a way that we make other people feel uncomfortable. He is speaking about common courtesy, this love in relationship to society. We are social beings with certain social customs and expectations. Love cares enough about people that it seeks to respect these conventions. Offensive language, vulgar behaviour, and disrespect for others are all examples of general rudeness that are not compatible with agape love. Love does not demand its own way. This speaks about seeking our own advantage, putting ourselves before others. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Notice that we should not neglect ourselves, but neither should we seek our own advantage to the detriment of others. It is not irritable or touchy. This is the final pair in the section. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Not easily angered has to do with short term, whilst keeping no records of wrong has more to do with the long term. To be easily angered means that you're easily provoked. We're irritable or touchy, yield to provocation. We all have certain buttons which, when pushed, will trigger an unloving reaction. It does not hold grudges and hardly even notices when others get it wrong. Do you notice when others get it wrong? Because I know I do. One of the things that irritates the life out of me, particularly with the BBC, is when they say "different to" instead of "different from." Similar to, different from. I shout at the television when they say "different to" and "different from." David will tell you. Irritable or touchy, that's the short term blowing up. Do we hold on to the long term? Some struggle with this side of it. Keeping a record of wrongs is the long term decision to hold on to bitterness and resentment. To choose not to forgive is the difference between the quick flare and the slow burn. I've said it before in a sermon. There was a person who's no longer with us about to take communion here in this church, and she knew that she was not in a loving relationship, as it were, with another member of the congregation. And as she knew she was going to come forward for communion, she knew she had to do something about it. And so in the peace, she went to them and she told them that she loved them, because that was the only way that she could get that freedom from that, you know, long-term resentment that she was hanging on to. And then she was able before God to take communion. Next, love is described with a contrasting statement. So we've had what love is, what love is not, and here's a contrasting statement. Love is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. It's never glad about injustice. When Paul says that love does not delight in evil, he means that love takes no pleasure in injustice or wickedness. Love never rejoices when people are mistreated, when God is dishonoured. Love does not delight when evil befalls another person. Love is glad at that person. Love is never glad at that person's misfortune. And here's the contrast, but rejoices when truth wins out. As Christians, we must love the truth at all costs. We should speak the truth in love. Scripture leaves no room for a watered-down Christian love. It does not divorce itself from tough moral choices. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Paul has described what love is, what love is not. He's described love with a contrasting statement. And finally, he tells us four things that love always does. Verse 7, love always protects. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them no matter what the cost. The word Paul uses here is related to the Greek word for roof. It means to protect by covering over, just as a roof provides protective covering from the elements. Protection is a natural byproduct of love. The shepherd protects his sheep. A parent protects his or her child. You will always believe in them. The word here means to trust or believe in, to commit ourselves to someone or something. It does not believe in a lie or trust untrustworthy people. But love chooses to believe the best about people. Love always hopes, always expects the best of them. Love is optimistic. Love does not dwell on the problems of the past, but looks forward to the future with confidence and grace. Love always perseveres. Always stand your ground when defending them. Love never stops loving. It continues in the face of rejection and opposition. It bears up under insult and injury. Love perseveres because it is unconditional. And Paul says that without this kind of love, we are nothing. Jesus is the only one who truly fulfills this beautiful picture of love. Rather than get discouraged over our own shortcomings, let's cast ourselves upon him who is perfect love. Meditate on the beauty of his character. And let God do the work in changing our lives, transforming us ever more into the likeness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.